Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119 is a very well-known chapter of God's word. It's the longest chapter, 176 verses, and most of the verses in Psalm 119 mention the Bible, whether it's referred to as statutes, commands, ordinances, different terms that are used. God's word, of course, as the verse that we just read, different terms that are used, but it's referring to the word of God. And what a precious chapter it is to think about God's word and all that God's word is to us. But Psalm 119:105 again says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart," or excuse me, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Verse 11 is what I was starting to quote there, and we'll look at that one a little bit this evening. But I want to think about God's word being a lamp and a light. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we can meet together. Thank you for the Bible. We don't just come to hear just somebody's opinion on something, but we come to hear from you. And we thank you that you've given us your word that speaks to our heart. And I pray that you do that through your word tonight. May we appreciate the Bible a little bit more because of what we read tonight. May it be that much more precious to us, more valuable to us. May we choose to let it impact our life as you would desire it to, because of that which you speak to us about tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want us to think about a lamp and a light. This verse says that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For a long time I've thought that that's just basically a repetition. And sometimes God's word does emphasize things by repeating it a second time, just a slight different aspect. We may think of a lamp as a light, and so therefore a lamp and a light are the same thing. So God's word is a lamp and it's a light, but that just really means it is a light. I believe that there is a slight difference in the words, and think it, God didn't just say, "Thy word is a light to my feet and a light to my path." He said it was a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. And so the word lamp means to glisten, a candle or light. So a lamp is a light. Of course, we think of a nighttime lamp, or we think of a coal oil lamp, or we think of the lamp. It's something that gives light, but probably not a super bright light. It's something that illuminates a smaller area, a lamp. But then he says it's not only a lamp, but it's also a light. The word light here speaks of illumination, bright, clear, day, morning, sun. So you get the difference between the two. One is a smaller amount of light given, then the other one is a larger amount given. And obviously, the context tells us the difference in them here, because it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Like a nightlight, God's word enables us to see where our feet are. What is it, those nightlights that we have? It's just a little lamp, a little light. It's just to give a little bit of light, just to give some safety, we would say, to protect our path, protect our toes, because we all know how comfortable it is when we stub our toe, right? And you try to find your way without turning on a lamp, and thought, "I know it's okay, I can find my way," and you just get just a little bit too close to the dresser or the edge of the bed or the couch, and you kick it, and you go, "I wish I'd turn on the lamp that would light up the pathway at my feet, light up that space at my feet." A light, we think of the light and the definition of light there, illumination. You think of a light on a path, then you think of it being brightening the pathway. So not just the area at the feet, but giving a direction, a longer distance, perhaps, of light, because a brighter light. And so we realize there's a slight difference between these two words. It's better to have on a path, it's better to have a general light that shines further than just a little bit of illumination around our feet. Technically, we can get away with just enough around our feet, but we may not see other obstacles in our way. It may not give the direction that we need if it's just a very dim lamp is around our feet, or a lesser light. We might say that the lamp then is there to protect us, while the light is there to direct us. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In this dark world, and the confusion that surrounds sometimes our life's journey, God's Word helps us to see where our feet are and also where our path needs to be, to direct our path, but also to see where we need to place our feet. Keep your finger in Psalms, because we'll be in Psalm 119 for most of the rest of the message. But turn back to the book of Job. Job 29 uses these two terms here again, similarly to what is mentioned in Psalm 119. So Job chapter 29, verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me." Look at verse 3. "When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness." Very similar thought, isn't it? Job said, I had that lamp, that candle, but I also had God's light on my path as I walked through darkness. And so we see the differentiation between those two things, that God had protected Job in the past, and he said, I wish it was like that again, where God protected me and God made my way clear along the way. And so the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Slight different in the terms, and yet a similar connection there. Of course, they're both meaning light. So we'll look at some verses tonight in Psalm 119 that talk about God's word as a lamp. That element of protection, that element of safety, that element of God just helping us to see where it's safe to put our feet. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And of course, God's word does that in many ways. We see that in the beginning of the chapter in verses 2 and 3, and also in verses 9 to 11, which I referenced a couple minutes ago in error, that God's word will keep us from sin. That makes it a lamp to our feet. It shows us where a safe or not safe place, as it were, to plant our feet. It says in verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. Look at verse 3. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. And so it says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. So what's his testimonies? It's another word for the word of God. So if we keep God's testimonies, then verse 3 says, we will do no iniquity. God's word illuminates our life and it shows us where we can safely walk in righteousness. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. A light to a lamp. A lamp for our feet. Where is it safe to place our feet in this world as relating to sin? God's word keeps us from sin if we follow it. How does it do that? Well, it tells us what is right and what's wrong. We're living in a day today where there's very little knowledge of really what's right and wrong anymore. People don't have a very good basis for what is right and what is wrong. Laws are challenged all the time for, well, that is an infringement upon my rights, so therefore it's not right, it's not the truthful law. And these things, so we're losing our foundation for our life. But if we go back to God's word, we stick with God's word, then we will know what is right and what is wrong. So therefore, when we know what is wrong, we can stay away from that. And God's word is a lamp for our feet. It gives us wisdom in the right way. It keeps us from sin. The Creator is the one who knows what is best and what will harm us, and He is the one who says what is right and what is wrong. God's Word also warns us of the folly of sin. When we think about God's Word being a lamp for our feet to keep us from walking in the wrong path and keeping us from sin, then we would realize that God's word does that not only by telling us what's right and what's wrong, but by warning us about the folly of sin, that sin is just for a season and sin is brings shame and all these different things that are come about. Look at verse 5 and 6. It says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. There's a lot of shame in the world today, isn't there? People don't really understand why is there shame? The shame is because they are walking in sin rather than heeding the word of God. But when we look at what God says about righteousness, about truth, then we realize that God's word keeps us from the folly of sin. It keeps us from making the mistake of following after sin, and so that we would be ashamed. In our day of tolerance and acceptance, shame has been removed from a lot of sin. A lot of things that God says are sin. But if we choose to follow God's word in our heart, it will keep our feet, it will illuminate the path at our feet, and will help us to keep away from sin, because it tells us what is right and what's wrong. And it will also keep us from the folly or the shame that comes along with that sin. We also see that God's word is a lamp to our feet by giving strength and comfort. Verse 28, it says, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." It's a lot of trials and struggles in life, isn't there? Job 14:1 says, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." Well, guess what? We're all here because we were born of woman. So that means all of us, our days are relatively few and they're full of trouble. There's trials, there's difficulty. It doesn't mean that life is always bad, but Job's just saying, of course, and he was experiencing a very low time in his life and a lot of troubles in his life, but he could say from the experience of life that life is full of troubles, trials, difficulties. And the psalmist said in verse 28, his soul was melting for heaviness. The trials of life were weighing heavy upon him. And so what does he do? He says to God, "Strengthen me." How? "According unto thy word." I just need that lamp for my feet so that I can get the strength that I need for today. Verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." What is the comfort in affliction? God's word. Verse 54 says, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." Verse 55, "I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law." Verse 56, "This I had because I kept thy precepts." Comfort in affliction. Strength. You know, you ever need, just you say, "Lord, I just don't understand these things that I'm going through. Lord, would you just give me your word? Just let it lighten the steps so I know where to put my next foot moving forward." We use that phrase, don't we, when we're talking in trouble and trials, just put one foot in front of the other. Just keep on going. What do we need to do that? We need the strength of God's word, the lamp at our feet to give us that. How often has God's word been a comfort in a weary world in the midst of a difficult time, helping to make sense of a difficult situation? Maybe allowing us to see the end of something or who is behind something to just say, "It's okay, with God I can make it through this. God will help me." His word is that which quickens us, helps us, guides us in our life. And so those afflictions, those trials, in those times, God's word is what makes sense of life, and it's a light, it's a lamp to our feet. It gives strength and it gives comfort and it keeps our mind. Verse 113. So I talk about the mind today, and the mind is an amazing thing, and there's all kinds of different things about people's mental health and all these different aspects. And verse 13 says, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy word," or "thy law," excuse me, "do I love." Vain thoughts. There's a lot of empty thoughts that rattle around in our minds sometimes, isn't there? The mind is that amazing thing that allows us to do great things, and yet sometimes it can be a hindrance in our lives. Sometimes it can lead us to temptations and despair if we let those things, wrong things, dwell in our mind. But this word tells us that this verse tells us that God's word can keep us from those vain thoughts. "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." God's word is in contrast to empty, vain thoughts of life. We're told to meditate on the Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. What does it mean to meditate? It just means to mull over in our minds, in our hearts. That's not empty. That's not vain. That replaces the vain thoughts that may be there when we put our focus on God's Word. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing exalts itself. What do we say? How do we cast down? How do we get those thoughts out of our mind? Well, we take this book and meditate on it and replace those vain thoughts with some God's Word that will help us to overcome those temptations. See, our minds are not a vacuum. They need something in there. And we need God's Word to be in our hearts, our minds. It makes a lamp for our feet when we fill our minds with the Word of God. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Fix our minds on God and His Word. What does it tell us in Philippians chapter 4 about not worrying, be careful for nothing, pray in everything. And then what does he say? Think on those things. Think on things that are lovely, pure, right, all those things. Think, what's that? That's our mind. And what are things that are pure and lovely and all those things, a good report? Well, God's Word is a great place to start for that, amen? That's where we find things that are praiseworthy and things that are pure and right. How many times our minds perhaps go to where they ought not to go, whether it be wrong thoughts, thinking about wicked thoughts, or just thinking about things that fill our hearts and minds with fear. What we need to do is say, I won't go that way. Let me get God's Word in my mind and let me meditate on those things. See, God's Word then becomes a lamp in our life, a lamp to our feet. But God's Word is also a light. And though they overlap and are similar, we also look at some ways that God's Word is a light giving direction to us. God's Word brings joy and happiness, and the psalm begins with that word blessed in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed, verse 2, are they that keep His testimonies. Blessed. What do most people think about the Bible and following the Bible? Oh, that'll make your life miserable. But in contrast, what does God say? God says, if you meditate, if you walk in my ways, if you follow my way, you will be blessed. And what is that blessed? What is that? That means happy, joyful, filled with joy. Following God's Word brings joy and blessing in our life. Isn't that what we find in Psalm 1 where it says again, blessed is he that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in what? The Word of God, the law of the Lord. And his law doth he meditate day and night. There, that meditation, again, God's Word brings blessing. It brings happiness and joy in our life. Verse 111 of Psalm 119 here says that thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. Look at the last phrase. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. What Jeremiah say in Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. What is it about God's Word that brings such joy, that illuminates our path and gives a bright path? Because isn't walking in joy and happiness brightening to our day, brightening to our path, brightening to our life? What is it that brings these things from God's Word? Well, the promises. Those promises that God gives us, they bring joy to our heart. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We have the hope, the promise, that there's better things yet to come. The best is yet to come. According to God's Word, He is at work in our lives, Romans 8:28. That brings joy, knowing, hey, I'm going through a difficult time, but God's working this together in my life, and He's got some good to come out of this. That gives light to our path. To think about the fact that we have, according to the promise of God's Word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a promise of God's Word that says, hey, this life may be filled with trials, but I know that I've trusted Christ, and so therefore eternity is coming, and that brings light to our life. God's Word gives us the promise that Jesus is coming again. That brings joy to our path. So many of the promises in God's Word, it brightens our path. It's a light. It's a light beam on our path of life to bring joy and happiness. It causes praise to God in verse 171 and 172, as well as in verse 7. We talk about the Word of God bringing praise to God. You think about God's Word, verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Hey, spend some time in God's Word and see what He's done and see how much He loves us and see how He cares for us. It'll make you praise Him. That brings light to our path. It gives purpose to our life to live a life of praise to God. It gives direction in our life. His Word gives wisdom and counsel in verse 24. And we realize that there's many verses we could be looking at both in and outside of Psalm 119 tonight to think about these thoughts. But verse 24 says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. You ever wonder which way to turn, what to do? You know, David says, when I'm in that situation and I need a light on my path, I take God's book and I open it up and I let it give me the counsel that I need. I let it give me the direction in my life that I need. Do we not all need wisdom that is beyond us sometimes? We need counsel. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. There are times when we just say, I'm at a loss. I just don't know what to do. Well, here's a good place to turn first, this book. It'll give light to your path. Not just a lamp for your feet, but light to give direction. Verse 98 and 99 is a pair of beautiful verses because it says in verse 98, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. You ever think that, man, it always seems like the enemy is just a step ahead? No, get in the book. He says, your word makes me wiser than mine enemies. Look at verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. The wisdom that comes from God's Word is supersedes anything else. I'm not saying it's wrong to talk to somebody else. I'm not saying it's wrong to ask people. The Bible talks about a safety in a multitude of counselors and so on. But you better be sure that those people you're going to believe in this book and want to follow this book, because then they're going to give you wise counsel. But meditating on the Word of God, it gives us that wisdom in our life. It gives us that counsel that we need. It causes us to hate every evil way in verse 104. It gives understanding to the simple. Reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where God says, not many mighty, not many noble after the flesh are called, not many wise men are called. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to say. Why did God do that? To confound the mighty. But how does He instruct the foolish? What does he mean? Well, He's chosen the foolish that are foolish enough to just get in this book and learn what the wisdom that's here. And then the people scratch their heads and say, how do they get so happy? How do they have the joy in their life? How do they have purpose in their life? It confounds them. They don't understand it. But it comes from God. It comes from His Word. Because His Word gives wisdom and counsel. If I had to choose, I'd rather know this book, God's Word, from cover to cover than have a degree from the most prestigious university in the world. Doesn't mean you can't have both, by the way, but I'm just saying, if you had the choice, I think you'd be best to just go with what God says and just follow God's Word and just say, I'm just going to just soak up the Word of God, because it'll give greater wisdom and counsel than anybody or anything. It gives that wisdom because its author is divine. It gives that wisdom because it's timeless and never changes. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, it says in verse 89. How many of the things that this world has taught you have changed since you learned them? I just saw that somewhere the other day on Facebook. I know, not always the most advisable place to take your information from, but it's true that there's some things that you learned in school that now they're saying, no, that's not true. Remember when I was in school, which, you know, that's a few years ago, there were 9 planets. One of them was Pluto. Now Pluto's knocked off the list. It's no longer a planet. Now, I just heard not long ago they're thinking of putting it back in again and making it a planet again. I don't know what makes them decide these things. But I'm just saying that there's things that they taught us. They said, this is it. And then they said, oh, actually, we were wrong. That's not it. So they have to scratch that one from the textbooks. But that doesn't happen with the Word of God. His Word is forever settled. It never changes. It's always the same. The testimonies of the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Verse 144. God's Word is a light to our path because of the wisdom that it gives. It's unchanging wisdom. And it doesn't just stay the same like some stubborn person that says, I know I'm wrong, but I'm not going to admit it because I don't want to admit that I'm wrong. That's not the way the Bible is. The Bible is always the same because it's always right. It gives wisdom and counsel, but it brings liberty and peace. In verse 45, it says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. And then verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Liberty and peace. Some would say that the Bible brings bondage with all its thou shalts and thou shalt not. But Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God's Word frees us. We can live free from the vices and bondage of this world by simply living by the Word of God. Though people have been imprisoned for proclaiming it, they were in heart and conscience free. They knew the liberty in their heart, even as they were in the bondage of perhaps a jail cell. True liberty brings peace in opposition to the bondage of offense taken by many. Verse 165 that we just read there, great peace of they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If there was ever a day where people are offended, we live in that day, don't we? So it seems like people are just waiting to be offended. And you say some innocent comment and people say, I resent that comment. I take offense to that. What? What do you mean? People are waiting to be offended. They think that everything is against them, and they've got a chip on their shoulder many times, and they're just waiting to be offended. But I love verse 165, where it says that those who love the Word of God have a peace in their heart, and they're not offended. Because we know, not proudly, not haughtily, not boastfully in the sense of the flesh, we know we're right. So it's okay. I'm not offended if somebody disagrees with me about what this book says. I feel bad for them, but I know that if I'm in line with this book, I'm right. I'm on the right path. I'm in the right place. That gives great light to my pathway. How many people live in fear of what others may think or say? And they say, oh, what did they mean by that? Don't worry about it. Just live by the Word of God. Enjoy the freedom and the peace that it brings in your life. Rather than living in the bondage of public opinion, concentrate on what God wants for your life. God's Word brings light because it gives freedom and peace to those who follow it. So we need to understand that if God's Word is a lamp and God's Word is a light, then how do we get that lamp? How do we have that light in our life? What hinders it? Why is it that we sometimes don't have that lamp and that light? Well, I would say that it's probably because of a lack of following the Word of God or lack of understanding what God says. So to gain that lamp for our feet and that light for our path, we do well to do what the psalmist said in verse 18 of this chapter, where he says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Open thou mine eyes. Lord, help me to see something in your word today will be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He wanted to behold wonderful things from the Word of God, and so he asked God to open his eyes. I wonder how many times we say, well, I'm supposed to read my Bible, so I'll just quickly read these few verses or this chapter or this, and we open it, read it, close it, and go our way, and we say, well, I didn't get anything out of it. It's because we didn't pause just to say, Lord, open my eyes. Help me to see some wonderful things in your law, in your book, in your truth, in your word, so that I can have that lamp and that light that I need for my path today. Verse 27, he says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Lord, make me understand it. Sometimes we're in such a hurry to be done with reading it that we don't say, Lord, I want to understand what you're telling me today. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. When we understand it, then we say, now I understand it, now I get it, now I want to live it, because it's a wonderful thing to know what God has for us. God's word is living and true, and he desires to make it real to us. But would we take the time to ask him to teach us, to open our eyes to it, to help us understand what he has for it in that passage of Scripture? Many times we read the Bible like we read a novel or like we read the newspaper. You ever think you get the newspaper and you say, I just want to see what's going on. You just scan through the articles and flip to the next page and scan those and flip to the next page. Sometimes we treat our Bible that way. But we do well if we want to be a lamp and a light to say, God, I don't want to scan through it. I want something today. I want to understand it. I want something that will shine a light at my feet to keep me on the right path. I want something that will illuminate my life today. Verse 36 says, incline my heart to thy testimonies. Incline. Lord, allow me. Give me a desire to do what you say. Then we need to recognize the value of it. If it's going to be a lamp and a light, we've got to recognize the value of the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 127 says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Verse 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Verse 129, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. Then verse 130, the entrance of the word giveth light. Why isn't God's word, I don't see it as the lamp, I don't see it as the light. Maybe it's because you haven't esteemed it to be the value that it has. Above gold. What does the proverb say? Search for wisdom as you search for gold. If you were told there's gold in them there hills, right? If you're told, hey, there's a place where there's gold here. I promise you there's gold. You say, well, I'm going to go find some. And you dig and dig and you'd work hard to find it. There's greater value than gold in this book. So why do we just kind of drive past and, oh, yeah, maybe there's some there, maybe not. Esteem the Word of God. Love it above gold. Verse 128, esteem, that means to place a value on God's Word. Esteem it to be right and state it as being wonderful. You recognize the value of the Word of God, that it was true and it was righteous, and if it was right and it's God's Word, then I need to apply it in my life. Verse 160, thy Word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. David had acquired a taste for God's Word that made him want to know more of God's Word. You know, we often talk about it on the physical level. To somebody who has a taste for junk food, and hey, it's easy to have a taste for junk food. What do we say to somebody who we say, you know, the doctor says they need to get in shape, oh, this tastes horrible, this healthy stuff. say you need to acquire a taste for it. But it's a lot easier to go through the drive-thru and grab a burger than to go and get something healthy and make it and eat it. And so many times we say, well, I don't want that healthy stuff. It takes long to get ready. It tastes blah. And just give me that burger that's full of sodium and fat and thing, because it tastes good. But it's not good for you. You ever see that thing? I've never seen the movie, but I understand that Supersize Me or something. Somebody eats just like fast food for a month, and they're basically, for a period of time, and they get very, very ill. You know, the problem with Christianity today is we're subsisting on, for our spiritual hearts, on the fast food that's available instead of digging into the nutrition of the Word of God and placing a value on it. See, I don't see it as lightening my path. It's old-fashioned. It's boring. The problem is we haven't got into the and realized the value that's here. And sometimes to switch over from the junk food to the healthy stuff takes a transition, takes a heart to say, I'm going to do it. And you talk to people who are on eating a lot of healthy food, don't look at here to find that person, but they say, I like it. It tastes good, and it's good for me, and I've noticed a big difference in the way I feel because of what I've eaten. You know, the same thing goes for the Christian life. It may take some acquiring a taste, so to speak, for the Word of God. But when we see what it does for our souls, we see the light that it gives to our path and the lamp it shines on our feet, we say, man, it's worth it. It's so much more satisfying than that fluffy stuff that the world doles out. So if we want to know what God's Word is, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, we need to spend some time with it. Because God's Word is a lamp and is a light. It protects our lives and it guides us on our path. But to benefit from it, we need to spend some time in it and apply it into our life. Let me ask you tonight, is God's Word a lamp to your feet and a light to your path? Let's pray together.